I was interested to know why, where your passion for education comes from.
Well, I think I should start by giving you a little something about my background. I mean, I grew up in Worcester, Massachusetts. It's a great working class town, lots of factories, shoe factories, textile mills. My dad was a textile machinery dealer, and we grew up middle class. He had his own business, and my mom was pretty much a stay at home mom. She taught religious school once a week, because she enjoyed doing it. And what happened in the late 60s, all the textile mills just closed. They all moved to the South. And so my dad lost his livelihood, and he had all his money in his business. So he really lost everything. We ended up selling our home. I think they just paid off the mortgage barely. And he moved to West Palm Beach. My parents moved to West Palm Beach. And it was very tough. My dad ended up getting a vending route just to make ends meet. He drove our van around. And it was hard, grueling work. And my mom took a job as a waitress at the Breakers Hotel just to make ends meet. And I remember seeing her come back at midnight, exhausted. So I understand what Florida families are going through. And to circle back to education, when my parents moved to West Palm Beach in 1970, I didn't come with them because I was told that the schools aren't that great, if everyone knew that, and I was in the public schools, and I was going to public schools in Worcester, and so I decided to stay with my great aunt. I was 15 years old. My parents went with my little brother, and I stayed all by myself with a great aunt to finish high school there. And fast forward 48 years later, we are now 40th in the country, according to U.S. News & World Report, in education, K-12 education. So what we have to show from 20 years of Republican governors is... I didn't think it was possible for 1970 that we could actually be worse off in education, be doing a worse job for our children 48 years later. But we are. And so we need some big, bold moves to turn that around.
So if you had to kind of lay out your education platform, I guess, what does that look like?
Well, right. I'm glad you asked that question, because the great thing about education is there are examples all over the country. Now, New Jersey was in the 30s, and right now it's top five in the country. I think it's three in the country. And what they did was a few simple things. They implemented pre-K education for 3 and 4 year olds, universal, 100% paid for all 3 and 4 year olds. My wife and I started a school in West Palm Beach 2 years ago because we were frustrated with the public and private school options, and we have 3 little kids, 4, 6, and 8 years old. And so I became kind of an accidental educator. I've learned a fair amount about this, and one thing you learn very early on is that prior to third grade, kids learn to read. After third grade, kids read to learn. So it's really such a critical turning point in the third grade. If kids aren't reading in the third grade, it's very hard then to learn all their other subjects. One critical thing, as I said, is 2 years of pre-K education, because what happens is kids get to kindergarten in Florida, and they're just not prepared. If you look at, Warren Buffett, who I've gotten to know from the Giving Pledge, calls it the ovarian lottery. And he just says, some kids are just born it's not their fault. They're born into a family that lives in a district that doesn't have the resources, to provide a great, any pre-K at all for them. They live in a household with a single parent who may be working, one, two jobs and is not home reading to the child. So what do you do as a state? If I'm the governor of Florida, what am I going to do to make sure that every child in kindergarten is at least at the same starting line? How am I going to do that? 2 years of pre-K education for every child.
And you briefly mentioned the school you founded, the Green School in West Palm Beach. Can you tell me a little more about the school's model?
It's just a school that basically, someone like the guy, Jeff Green, and his wife, Macy, who have been blessed with enormous well, decided to fund to try to do an innovation school that really tries new and exciting things in education. We're funding the whole thing. The students, basically, it's need blind, so kids pay whatever their family can afford. So, some kids pay the full tuition, which is as much as $26,000 a year, and some kids pay zero. And the local Palm Beach superintendent has been there a number of times, and has really has looked at some of our design, the way we've designed the school and our curriculum, and I think is looking at some of the things we're doing for their own district. Unfortunately, a lot of the things in the public schools today are, dictated by testing and rigid curriculums. and we're able to have a much more free-flowing curriculum.
I understand there's sort of a business bend to the curriculum at the Green School. How do you teach business to kids coming up in today's business climate, being an increasingly service economy and things like automation now being a concern?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, look, there's an Oxford study that came out that basically shows that 45% of all jobs today will be automated within, I think, 20 years. So the reality is my kids who are 4, 6, and 8 years old will be entering the economy in the, 20 years from now, so it could be, 2000, mid to mid-2030s. I think what's going to happen is even FSU graduates today, odds are going to have lots and lots of jobs over their careers. The idea of going to work at one place, saying they're 50 years and getting a gold watch, I think is going to be in the ancient history books. And really what's going to happen is people are going to have to learn to adapt as AI, machine learning, big data, robotics, and just the exponential growth of technology continues to assault the workforce, and it's going to happen. I mean, the people own retail stores, for 100 years. I think we just woke up one day and there was Amazon, and 5 years later they were out of business. And I think it's happening in our economy a lot, and we can't, we can't fear it. We can't fear technology. So again, I would say that teaching kids today, they have to learn math, science, reading, all the basics. Have a love of learning, so they love and enjoy continuing to educate and train themselves as the work environment evolves.
All of the four other candidates in the running right now in the Dem gubernatorial race have all gone after charter schools as competition for traditional public schools. Do you have a position on that? And how do you feel about charter schools, particularly in Florida?
Well, we don't have enough funding for our public schools right now, and we have so much work to fix them, and that has to be our first priority. I mean, the priority is of the. I don't think the state and the government, the governor, should be encouraging the demise of our public schools. We're doing the opposite. We need to fix our public schools, do everything we can to make our schools world class. If somebody like me wants to go out and as a private citizen and use their money to build a school and not take any money from anyone else, sure, do it. I mean, because we need everyone. Look, educating our kids is the number one priority as far as I'm concerned. We want to reduce the population in prisons. We want to, how are you going to do that? You're going to get educated population, not just in, K-12. I mean, we need to think in terms of community colleges, and these community colleges should be need-blind. I mean, if you can't make someone who loses their job and has nowhere to go, they can't then afford. How can they pay tuition? They need to be able to go to take classes at no charge, and get their career going again. So I think, but in the K-12 space, I absolutely don't believe in public funding charter schools. I think it just doesn't make sense. It's not about. I mean, I know what they're saying. Let's have competition, but we have to fix what we have first.